Switched on FM 104, and I'm joined by DJ and producer Mark McCabe. Hello.
Louise, how are you?
I'm very good. How has 2023 been for you?
2023 has been surprisingly great.
Good.
It kind of took me by surprise, to be honest with you, because the last few years before that, you know, there was a lot of change. And things didn't quite go the way we wanted them to, in the music industry and in the clubbing industry. But I think 2023 has really thrown a few surprises at us, like in terms of even just new venues coming up. Mm-hmm. As much as there were clubs and venues closed, there's a whole new sort of rejuvenated scene there and new venues. And it's gone from being kind of nightclub focused to being more event focused, which from my point of view has meant I've got to play in some, you know, really big fields and race courses and venues. And, you know, so it's been a really good year. It's certainly been better than 21 and 22 for sure.
Yeah. And it's really nice to actually see them test out new venues and see how they'd work as a venue too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, cool. Look, we're not getting spoiled for choice, mm-hmm. but there's definitely, you know, there's a change happening. Mm-hmm. And with the Give Us the Night movement, you know, that just needs to sort of harmonize now with what's available in terms of spaces and venues. And I think 24 and 25 is going to be really good for you know, dance music and club culture in this country. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, and that seed has been planted where they're now looking at spaces and going, this is potential. Which
definitely.
Is good, which is
yeah,
what we
definitely.
Want.
Exactly.
But looking ahead, I suppose, at the moment for New Year's Eve, you're going to be doing the biggest disco Wonderful Days festival edition in the Red Cow. How has it been doing these nights? Because obviously it's 90s and noughties and it's lots of fun.
It's so good. I mean, I kind of shied away from these when they first launched because I had this sort of impression in my head that I didn't want to age too quickly, you know, because I was doing clubs and I was playing, you know, different kinds of sets. And at the time, there wasn't such a resurgence with, you know, piano house, 90s and noughties. It was more about what was happening then and now. Whereas now it's pretty much remixes of stuff from the 90s and the noughties anyway.
Yeah.
So when they first came around, I was kind of shying away from them. And then I met the guy who runs them and, he said, would you like to do one? And I said, you know, sure, why not? I'll give it a go. And I just absolutely loved it. They put on such a good show. It's not just a case of here's the space, let's just ram them in and, you know, hope for the best. They really put a lot of thought into the production, the sound, staging, all of that. Like, so it is a real experience when you do go to the shows. It's not just thrown together and let's get in and get the money. You know, they really do invest in these things. And I know that they've lost on a few of them because they've put so much money into the production on them. So from my point of view, playing them with such good production, such good crew, and then such a good crowd, which ranges from 18 plus, but it's 18 to, you know, 50. And it's just all those tunes that we all kind of inherently know that maybe we were born listening to in our mother's wombs or something. But it's like the same tunes that just keep on coming back time and time again, you know. So it's really special. And this is my second year now in the Red Cow. So I did it last year as well. So I'm actually playing across midnight. So I get to ring in 2024, which is going to be cool. I'm looking forward to that.
That's a fun thing to get to do.
Definitely, definitely. And, you know, I'm surrounded by heroes of mine. I mean, you know, on my stage alone, there's Four Strings, Ian Van Dahl, Special D, and Sash. And, you know, those guys are heroes to me. I grew up listening to them. And to be on the same stage and in the same space as them is just really special for me too.
And many people would know you for a Maniac 2000. How does that feel?
It feels great. Yeah, it's great. It's one of those things that it just sort of at this stage of my life and of my career, I'm kind of completely resolved with it. And I've got to that point probably through a lot of these biggest disco shows, to be honest with you, because, the reaction and the appreciation and the love that I get back from people at these gigs, and especially over the last year, Punchestown, I played the outdoor stage there and there was 12 or 15,000 people when I was on, and it was just a huge sea of people. And it was just really great that people, you know, came to my stage when I was on, and they just, you know, they lapped it all up. And of course, Maniac was the moment and the highlight of the whole show. And it kind of makes things easier for me because as long as I do Maniac, I can't really lose. You know, everybody else has to worry about what else they're playing. Whereas as long as I just get to Maniac, it's all good. But look, it's a special track. We've spoken about it before, me and you, and you know, we know, you know, it came from Dublin. Mm-hmm. It was a Dublin thing originally. And the fact that we're still talking about it now as we head into 2024 is just insane. It's just that's something that, you know, every artist, producer aspires to try and achieve is to leave something that's lasting. And a lot of music comes and goes and it's of a particular time. But this thing, for some reason, it just keeps on coming back and it keeps on resonating with people. And, you know, people say to me or I see, you know, threads saying, you know, it should be the national anthem. And, you know, how come they didn't play it when the rugby team, you know, came out for, you know, this match or the football team came out or Katie Taylor has to walk into it, you know, stuff like that. And for me to be, you know, associated with all these sort of big names, these big iconic moments in Irish history, is crazy. It's crazy.
Like, it's so nostalgic, but also now it's getting a new audience as well. I'm sure you had no idea when you released it how big it was going to become and stay.
Yeah, no idea at all. We knew that it was going to do something in Dublin because we knew Billy and Abby Diss, the guy who actually signed up the track, he knew that there were people coming in asking, have you got a copy of that? Because, you know, we were playing it on the radio station we were involved with at the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we just went, let's do it. And, you know, from my point of view, I was thinking, here's something that I can, you know, build on. Yeah. And, you know, let's put this out and then let's see where I can go from there. But it just became where it was like, you know, a year after it was still there. And then, you know, 5 years later, it was still there. And then 10 years later, it was still there. And then, you know, even now, it's still there.
It's still there.
And, you know, having done all these other tracks and, you know, even the funny thing, the hilarious thing for me is my Spotify, you know, has, I think, a combined total of 250 million streams.
Wow.
And Maniac isn't even there. That's none of those 250 million. But no one ever really mentions much about the other stuff. It's always about Maniac. And it's just, it's a testament to, you know, the track and what it has managed to sort of, the relationship that this country has with that tune, you know?
Yeah, it's quite rare. It's a rare thing to see, I think.
Definitely, yeah, yeah.
We also must mention your mountain biking as well. You do quite a bit of it too, don't you?
I do.
How did that happen?
How did it happen?
Yeah. Were you always a fan? Was it always something you wanted to try?
No, I had a friend who was forever saying to me, you know, oh, you got to come up, you're going to love it, you'll love it. And then I moved to, you know, just below Tignock, which is, you know, the big mountain here. And, he kept on saying, you know, I'm going off, come on, I'll give you a bike and everything. And I never did. And then one day, you know, it was during COVID, he said, do you want to come off? And I said, no problem. And he loaned me a bike. And I was just like, this is really cool. But it started off as being kind of, you know, relaxed and calm and just kind of, you know, flowing on trails. And it kind of progressed to full on downhill and managed to start racing and managed to crash and smash my wrist and have plates and pins and all of those kind of things. But it's like I'm, you know, forever in Glencullen, the Gap, where you can go and you can rent a bike, and Matt and Sinead and all the crew up there are so nice. If you ever want to experience it, that's the place to go. You don't have to put any effort in. If you want, you can hop on a van and that'll even bring you up to the top of the mountain. But like, to clear the head, to sort of get away from everything, Tignock, Jouse, Glencullen, all of these places that we have just on the outskirts of Dublin are just fantastic. And it's just such a good sport. It's such an adrenaline rush. And I love it. And even though I've smashed myself up quite a bit, I wouldn't stop it for the world. The pain has been absolutely worth the gain.
Is there a similar thrill to getting on a stage in front of a big crowd?
There is, yeah. Mm. The slight difference is that I kind of know what I'm doing with DJing now at this stage. Whereas the bike, I'm only on it 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
I did some BMXing when I was younger, but I never did anything kind of as full on as downhill. And there is that certain sort of in the back of my mind all the time, mountain biking is all about confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And if you commit to something and you're confident about it, you won't have a problem with it. If you stop and you think, you know, that's where things go wrong, because you start to stall and you don't have enough speed to keep you, you know, or traction to keep you moving, or get you over a jump, or wherever, whatever it is. So I'm slightly less sure of myself on a bike, you know, so I'm hitting some things every so often. I'm like, oh God, am I doing the right thing? And it's just going to end up bad. But it's such an amazing sport. And we have such, you know, we had two guys this year in the World Cup, and they were first and second on the podium. And there wasn't really much noise made about them. A guy called Oisin O'Callaghan and Ronan Dunne. And Ronan is riding for Red Bull, and you would just want to see the stuff that this guy is doing and the height that he gets on some of the jumps. And it's just like, it's such an amazing sport. But unfortunately, it's kind of niche, so it doesn't get much attention. But it's definitely, if you're listening to this and it's been in the back of your mind to try it, go do it. Go up the gap, talk to Sinead. She'll get you hooked up.
Excellent. And if anyone wants to check you out, you're going to be at the Biggest Disco Wonderful Days New Year's Eve Festival Edition on the 31st of December in the Red Cow. If people want to keep up to date with everything you're doing, what's the best place?
Well, first off, the really exciting news is, of course, that FM104 are also at that event and are hosting a silent disco.
We are indeed.
There you go. So I was pretty happy to hear that. So, and yeah, I'm there. There's loads of really good old school DJs. Niels van Gogh, De Hool, Tom Craft, Al Gibbs is there, Rue De Silva, Ian Van Dahl, DJ Sash, as I said earlier. So tickets are on sale. And did you ask how you can keep in touch with me?
Yeah.
Oh, my Instagram, I guess, or most of my socials. I'm Mark McCabe Official.
Excellent. Mark McCabe, thank you so much for chatting
to
us.
No problem, Louise. Lovely talking to you.